I invite you to open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 24. The book of Luke, chapter 24. We're delighted also today to have all the kids in here this morning, all the junior church kids. They normally go to junior church, and I'll tell you what my wifey did to me this morning. This is your preacher's wife. She comes up to me, and she goes, "Babe," she says, "you know the junior church kids are in here this morning, right?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Don't preach too long." So I've shortened my message from 2.5 hours down to 2 hours and 15 minutes. So, no. Luke chapter 24. Today is a wonderful day. I'm telling you what, it is a joy to have an opportunity to come and celebrate the resurrected Lord. I tell you, He changed my life when I was 16 years old. Jesus changed my life. I sincerely mean that. I was talking to someone recently, actually through Facebook. I'm in a forum, and it's actually a deer hunters forum, and just got to striking conversations with some of the guys and hearing some of their stories. And one fired back, and he goes, "Man, we have a lot in common." And he goes, "Jesus saved me when I was a young kid." And he said, "I got a little wayward and into my 20s. And now, of course, he's, I think, around 40 years of age, has a family. You know, but I'm grateful that Jesus not only saves, but as we'll see in this portion of Scripture this morning, He not only saves people and changes their lives, He also, for those that may get discouraged, for those that may, you know, kind of quit a little bit along the way, He is a God that loves to welcome us back and really get us fired up again. And we're going to talk a little bit about this today here. Luke chapter 24, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll just kind of read a few verses together. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not, that's a very significant word, they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the ground, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He, Jesus, is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. But notice in verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, and we'll focus our attention today on these next several verses. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near, the resurrected Lord. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord God, we ask that you'll meet with us. We pray, Father, that you will allow your Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us today. And God, as we dig into this portion of Scripture, I pray, God, in these next few minutes, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit will really, truly make it effectual to those that are in this room and even watching the internet. That, God, that you'll use it to save souls, that you'll use it, Lord, to challenge the hearts of your people, that you'll use it, God, to encourage the hearts of those that may be discouraged here today. And, Father, we know that you can do it, and we've seen you do it. We've seen you do all those things in times and past. We love you, Father. Please help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as you can be seated. Thank you very much. You know, as we dig through these verses of Scripture, of course, we know in the choir and Brother Joe, as he read some of the verses this morning, some of Scripture references of the crucifixion of Jesus. We know as far as the crucifixion really was a raw deal as far as The world, Jesus was innocent. We know that, right? We know Jesus was innocent. Matter of fact, if you were to examine the gospel accounts of the life of Christ, you'll see that it's said of Jesus that all they could accuse Jesus of was going about doing good. We know that Jesus was a sinless man. We know that he was a sinless Savior. Now, why is that significant? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus Christ, and I know what Hollywood tries to portray, but it is absolutely fictitious, it is a lie what they often try to portray of Christ, but Jesus Christ did not sin one time. Why is that significant? Because had Jesus sinned one time, he would have been disqualified from being your Savior. You know that, correct? So we know that Jesus was sinless. At the end of Jesus' life, roughly 33 and a half years of age, Jesus Christ was crucified. But as you back that up just for a moment, think with me for a moment who it was that had him crucified. It was the religious people. It was the religious people. Now, why would Jesus be crucified by religious people? Why were they kind of pretty much the ones that really led the charge to having Jesus crucified? I'll tell you why that is. Because Jesus, the message that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, that message is the only message that God uses to save people and take them to heaven when they die. You say, what do you mean by that? Let me illustrate a little bit more. We know on the authority of Scripture, and I'm so grateful to God for this as a preacher. I just had a conversation with someone recently in telling them how they could go to heaven when they die. We know on the authority of the Bible that going to heaven has nothing to do with your good life. It has nothing to do with your good works. It has nothing to do with, your baptisms or whatever. We know biblically we go to heaven when we have Christ as our Savior. Meaning, there was a point in our life that we asked God to forgive us of being a sinner and by faith believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day for us, for you as an individual. My preacher used to say, he goes, if you were the only sinner on the face of the planet, Jesus died for you. He died for you. And I tell you what, that's good news this morning. The gospel, the very essence of the gospel simply means good news. But specifically, it's the good news, as we've many times examined, it's the good news of the virtuous life of Christ. Jesus Christ was sinless, perfect, 100% sinless. We also know that he died a vicarious death. What in the world does that mean? It means substitutionary. It means that Jesus died in the place of. Now you say, who did he die in the place of? You. Me. He died in our place. Now you say, Pastor, let's just be real. Why do I need Jesus? I remember one time my wife and I, we were in Jacksonville, Florida, and we were at a Bible conference, and we were staying with a lady and her husband. We hadn't been married long, I think maybe about a year, and we were poor as Job's turkey. I've never met Job's turkey, but my granny used to say that phrase, poor as Job's turkey. I reckon that's pretty poor. But we were staying at this family's house, and very interesting people. And they were talking, this church, the First Baptist Jacksonville, it's a soul-winning church. I mean, they love knocking on doors. They love telling people about Christ. I mean, they're very passionate about that. And I remember Mrs. Jamies was her name, and she got to talking to me and my wife, and she goes, yeah, she said, we knock on doors. And she said, one thing, she said, it was amazing one time, we knocked on a door in a very affluent area. I mean, beautiful area. I mean, multi-million dollar homes, no doubt. And she said, I'll never forget knocking on a man's door, and that man came to the door, and we shared with him what I just shared with you, that Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and if a person will put their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, believe in that gospel message that God will save them. And she said, we shared that with that man. And at the door, this way says, and I'll never forget what she said. He looked right at us and said, why do I need Jesus? Look at all that I have. Why do I need Jesus? Look at everything I had, the home, no doubt he was using that, homes and the cars and all that. Why do I need Jesus? Let me tell you why, sir. Because 10 out of 10 people die. And when you die, you leave it all. And when you die and leave it all, you got to understand something. The very moment we draw our last breath, we will be somewhere. Either in heaven if we have Christ, or sadly in hell if we die lost without Jesus. The wonderful news is, this is Resurrection Sunday. Here's the good news, and Brother Ryan's already said it. No one. You heard me right. No one has to die without Christ. Nobody has to die and go to hell. Don't ever let any preacher tell you that you have to die and go to hell. You don't. You can trust Jesus as your Savior. So as we dig through these verses, I want to show you just a few things. And we're talking this morning on divine heartburn. And we'll show you where we got that thought this morning. Notice number one, if you want to just write down a couple notes here. Notice their disappointment. These disciples were disappointed. Why is that? Because Jesus, during the ministry years of Christ, Jesus on a regular basis would tell his followers, hey, I'm going to die. I mean, he would tell them that. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And to be honest with you, it's kind of like you ever hear something that you hear it, but you don't really want to hear it because of the news. You don't really want to hear it because how bad it is. So you just kind of block it out. Toby and I were sitting last night, and Jenny was over, and we're sitting there, and we're talking. And, I'm on my phone. I'm doing something. And all of a sudden, Toby says something, and he goes, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, Dad, you didn't hear anything that I said, did you? I said, nope. I said, I didn't. I said, but you know what they call that when you're married, right? And he goes, what? I said, a superpower. I said, it's amazing. It's a superpower. I said, but don't tell your mom that. You know, you just kind of agree and nod, grunt every now and then. They'll think you're paying attention. But anyway, you said, well, what in the world does that have to do with anything? I have no idea. I just ruined my sermon. I got myself in trouble, and I'm not going to get an Easter basket when I get home. Where was I going with this? Bad news. You just kind of block it out. You don't want to, well, if I don't think about it, then it's not there. And that's kind of what we see with the disciples. That's kind of what we see here with the followers of Jesus. He had told them for years that he's going to die. He had told them for years that he's going to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. But you got to grab a hold of this thought. They loved him. They loved him, and they had spent time with him. They had seen Jesus. Many of these folks had seen Jesus heal the sick. Man, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? Well, I tell you what, that'd have been awesome this spring here at Emmanuel. Woo, the flu bug, mercy sakes. It'd have been awesome to see somebody walking with the flu and say, boom, you're here on the hill. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Well, they had seen Jesus do this kind of stuff. They had seen Jesus bring sight to the blind. They had seen him, the lame, be able to walk immediately. And all of a sudden now, Jesus is gone. They've seen him. They watched him. He was crucified. They watched him die. And man, they're devastated. I mean, think of me for a moment. They're devastated because Jesus, he's gone. I mean, Jesus, who they care about, and Jesus cares for them, and yet they're gone. Easy, guys. Almost. Hold on to that bag. Don't let her have that bag or she'll get all the eggs, okay? Hold on to that bag. But he's gone. And they're disappointed. They're disappointed. I got to thinking about this. They're disappointed because I think it didn't really go, this Jesus thing. Not being irreverent, just stay with me. This Jesus thing didn't really go like they thought it was going to go. This Jesus thing didn't really pan out like they thought it was going to pan out. Am I talking to anybody this morning? You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes I've been disappointed. Now, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. He changed my life when I was 16. He born me again. I'm amazed at how God would save me. I truly am. I'm amazed at that. He changed my life. But when I, at 16 years of age, to here I am today, 45 years of age, and I'll be honest, there have been times in my life that maybe because I just kind of pushed out, really what Jesus was trying to say and show me because I didn't really want to listen, and then I got disappointed. Well, you know what, friend? It's okay to have feelings like that. But I want to show you before we end this message this morning that the resurrection of Jesus can absolutely help you with your disappointment. He's a risen Savior. He's a risen Savior. And I got to thinking, I've really been chewing on this for a little bit. I got to thinking, when we think about the disappointments in life, you said, Pastor, I'll be honest, I tried this Jesus thing when my marriage was on the rocks and Jesus didn't save my marriage. You know what? Let me just say something to you. And I've seen this. I've seen when people have had situations in their life, and man, they try this Jesus thing, and then all of a sudden maybe their marriage isn't saved, or maybe their health isn't saved, or what have you. That's really not a fair. That's really not a fair thing, when it comes to Christ and you. You say, Pastor, yeah, but it, Listen, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, His thought, our thoughts aren't His thoughts. When it comes to the Lord Jesus, here's the many differences, of course, between us and Christ. But when it comes to Jesus, He sees the beginning of the situation, but let me also say something to you. He sees the end of it. And there have been many, many times in my life, and I'll just be truthful to you, you that are visiting, and my church family knows this, and I preach a lot like this, and I just share my heart. But for those that may be visiting, don't really understand this, and maybe do not even know me, there have been many times in my life that I'm like, you know what, if I was planning my life, I would not have included this chapter of my life. If I was planning my life, I would not have included this chapter of my life. But here's a good, let me give you a good word. I'm grateful that my life is in the hand of my Lord. And the reason I'm grateful for that is He knows, Miss Jen, He knows the beginning, but He knows the end as well. And you look in the Old Testament, it's illustrated perfectly in the life of Joseph. Study the life of Joseph, and here's Joseph, betrayed by his brothers. You know, they told their dad he was dead. And, you know, of course, we know he goes into the slavery and all this kind of stuff. But that's the beginning. You get to the end of it. You get to the end of the story as far as in the life of Joseph. And here he is. He's standing before his brothers. He now has a prominent position in Egypt. And here he is standing before his brothers who he could have had killed because of what they'd done to him years prior. And yet he says this. This is awesome. He says this. He said, listen, what you meant for evil, God Almighty meant for good. You see, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times it's about perspective. Yes, we get disappointed, and yes, we sometimes think, and let's just be real. Can we just be real this morning? Sometimes we think maybe Jesus has failed us. But you got to look beyond the moment. You got to look beyond the moment. You got to look beyond the now. You see, I preach that's easy for you to say. You've never been through some stuff. Let's have coffee one day. That sound good? Let's have coffee. We'll talk. We see they're disappointed. Their disappointment. Why were they disappointed? They're disappointed because Jesus' thing didn't work out like they thought. But second of all, see their dialogue. The Bible told us that, you know, that these women had ran to the sepulcher. They're going to anoint the body of Jesus. But when they get there with all their spices, there's no body. The body's gone. So what are they going to do? Well, finally, this, you know, two fellows show, hey, why seek you living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Oh, by the way, He told you He was going to do this. You know what? There's been many times in my life that Jesus told me this, through His word. I don't mean speak audibly to me. Through His word that Jesus Christ has assured me of things, but yet, sometimes it's hard to believe it. Just being human. You know, Jesus says many, many times, fear not. But you know, sometimes I fear. Jesus many, many, many times says, you know, don't worry. But sometimes I have a PhD in worry. Just being honest, right? There's sometimes Jesus says, hey, you know, cast your burdens on me. And yet sometimes I want to hold on to the burden. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, these people are no different than you and I. When we read the text, when we read God's word, especially in this chapter, we think to ourselves, man, these are super Christians. No, they weren't. They were ordinary men and women just like you and I. They were ordinary men and women and families that had their struggles. They had their problems. And at this point in their life, they're disappointed because the Jesus thing did not go as planned. But you got to get hold of something, though. It wasn't over yet. You see, and you may be disappointed today. The good news is, the story is still being written of your life. It is, I'm telling you, under God. You say, preacher, you don't know me. That's fair, right? That may be a fair statement. I may not know you. You say, preacher, you don't understand all that I've gone through. You don't understand all that's gone on in my life. That may be true, and that's fair, and it's a fair assessment. Well, one thing I do know is I know Him. And He is a God that loves to do extraordinary things in the lives of ordinary people. And I'm telling you, you can trust Him and you can believe in Him and you can absolutely build your life upon Him. You still with me, guys? Can you give me a few more minutes? All right, I'll let you get one more Easter egg if you give me a few more minutes. Nod this way if you let preacher have you. All right, thank you. Whew, man, I'm glad they gave me a few more minutes. I'd have had to shut it down. We see their dialogue, their disappointment, but now we see their dialogue. Look at the text. You know, they're all talking, right? The women come back. Verse 10, they cut them, you know, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, verse 10, at the end of it, which told these things unto the apostles. So what did they do? They come back to the apostles. They're like, hey, man, he's gone. What do you mean he's gone? Look, man, we took these spices. Can you hear the women? Honestly, can you hear them? No, sorry. Let me rephrase. No, that's not how they talked. They probably said, we would like to discuss the situation with you, sir. I'm sure that's how they did it, right? That's what my wife does. She comes in the room and says, my Lord, I would like to talk to you for a minute. That's exactly that. Yeah, you believe that, don't you? I got a bridge to sell you. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I can imagine, this is just me just trying to flesh out the text. I can imagine they come back and they're stumbling over each other trying to get the word out. I mean, one's interrupting another, and they're interrupting another, and finally people's like, whoa, what? We took these spices up there, Pete, and he's gone. What do you mean he's gone? And Peter takes off running. He wasn't a fat preacher, I'm telling you. I can make an assessment. He wasn't a fat preacher at this point in his ministry. So he takes off running, and he gets there. Look at the text. Verse 12. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed. But notice this, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So even Peter, this is a phenomenal passage. Even Peter had questions. Even Peter, the verse right before that, verse 11, I think it is, it says when the women came back and they told the story of all that they've witnessed, the Bible said their words seemed as idle tales. Literally, just kind of a fairy tale kind of thing. Fictitious. Wait a minute. Do you see their bewilderment? I do. Do you see their disappointment? Yes. Their dialogue. Their dialogue is, they don't know what to make of it. Jesus is supposed to, you know, I mean, our Savior is dead. Our Savior is gone. The one that we've placed our life in, the one that we've built our life upon for these last several years, this Jesus thing did not work out like it is, like it should have, like I thought it was going to. He's dead, so therefore there's no hope anymore, and we'll show you that in a moment. Was their feeling? Their dialogue continues to unfold. So they come back. Verse 13 now. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Now, when you first read that, you may not think that's a big deal, but it's a big deal, and I'll tell you why. Two of the men that were with that group no doubt had heard all the situations, no doubt had heard the women when they came back, no doubt had saw Peter, you know, saw Pete run off. Where are you going? I got to see it for myself. And now all of a sudden, two decide, you know what? Let's just go, man. Jerusalem's a dangerous place anyway. Let's just go. The problem with them leaving was Jesus had already told them to wait in Jerusalem. Remember that? Jesus said, don't you leave Jerusalem. I'm going to come with power. You're going to be on the day of Pentecost. You're going to be endued with power. Reason for this is so that you will be witnesses unto me in all, literally all over the world. But you got to stay in Jerusalem. So here they are. And by the way, let me ask you a question. I'll say, yes, I have, and I'll ask you the question. Have you ever disobeyed the Lord? I have. So when we look at this text, we think to ourselves, wow, how in the world could they do that? I look at the text and I think, yeah, that would have been me. I wouldn't have been running, I can bet you that, but I'd have been walking. I would have been heading to Emmaus. You know what I mean? It didn't pan out like I thought. I kind of got the raw end of the deal. You know, it just didn't pan out. So because of that, let's just quit this thing, this Jesus thing. I mean, he's gone. Or maybe, and press in here this. Maybe they're feeling Jesus just doesn't care. Wow. He doesn't care about us.
Oh, but the story still goes on. Let's read on. Their dialogue continues. And they talked together, verse 14, of all these things which had happened. Can you see them? Can you hear them talking? Let's just kind of press in and imagine for a moment, hear them talking about this. You know, Cleopas is one of their names. We don't want the other one is named, but man, that crucifixion. Whew, that was crazy. I mean, did you see him stab him in the side with a spear? Yeah. Did you see how the whole earth went black? And they're talking about the whole story of the crucifixion. Man, did you hear the cries of Jesus? Man, didn't that just put chills all over your body, Cleopas? Oh man, I tell you what, that was something. And they're walking to the Emmaus Road, about 7 miles away. They're from Jerusalem. They're walking and they're just talking about all that had transpired. But now look at something else. Verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I say, go God right there. Because ladies and gentlemen, here's what I know about my Lord. The Lord Jesus will he'll show up when you least expect it. He'll show up in times in your life where you honestly, you don't even realize it till after the fact. You don't even realize he showed up until after the fact. And yet we see them. So Jesus shows up. Now again, he's the resurrected Lord. We continue through the text and the Bible says their eyes were holding. They didn't recognize him. They didn't understand it. They didn't really see this Jesus. They didn't. So he shows up and he just kind of joins along with them. And there he goes. They go walking the Emmaus Road and there's Jesus. Boy, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty awesome. But I got news for you. Say, friend, yeah, it'd been cool for Jesus to, that'd have been awesome for Jesus to just show up and walk with me. Well, if you're born again, he does every day. If you're born again, he walks with you every day of your life. The Holy Spirit of God's in you. He's the third part of the Godhead. And when God saved you, he came and he took up residence in your life. You're not alone. That's what that means. You're not alone. The Bible said, Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. He goes on. Verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and you're sad? Jesus said, what's up? You say, you really think Jesus said, what's up? Well, he said it in Hebrew. What's up? I mean, what's the deal? You're talking, what are you talking about? Why are you so sad? Oh, wow, now let's look on. The dialogue continues. Verse 18, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Now let me just say something to you. Jesus knew the things. Jesus knew, I mean, good grief, it's Jesus. He knew what happened in Jerusalem, but he wants to hear it from them. He wants them to relay it back. He wants them to tell him. Look at the text. And he said to them, what things? Verse 19, and they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be crucified, to condemn to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted, literally, the word trusted there means we were hopeful. We were hoping that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive, and certain of them which were with us, so I mean, I can hear them, and they're talking a mile a minute like I am. I mean, they just got to get this off their chest. They've got to tell people about it. You ever had that happen in your life? You get overwhelmed with a situation? You ever get overwhelmed with something, and somebody get around you, and then somebody say something like this, hey, what's going on? Boom! They hit you with it.
You know, they just tell you. And I think this is what's going on with Cleopas and his buddy. And they're just telling all this to Jesus. Man, we thought it was him. We thought it was the Messiah. We thought it was the one that's going to redeem Israel. And there was women. And I mean, they're just going on and on and on. They're just going a mile a minute. And you know, it's kind of like when your wife tells a story, right? The dog's connected to the chair, and the chair's connected to the mom who gave us the chair. I mean, you ever see that? So this is what's going on. I mean, there's just one thing after another thing after another thing after another thing. And look at the text. Their dialogue continues. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Stops them dead in their tracks. It's almost like they're talking. Whoa, what? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? The Bible said he was going to do this. The prophets told you, if you'd have read in the Old Testament, the prophets told you this had to happen and was going to happen. Look at this beautiful Bible study in this text. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them, verse 27, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They say that Jesus is not mentioned in the Old Testament by name, but I promise you on the authority of God's holy word, Jesus in the Old Testament is saturated with Jesus. You've got to read it. So the Bible says, I mean, what a Bible says. So here they are, the crucifixion and the women and the spices and Jesus is like, whoa, wait. That's me. So he goes from Moses, the first five books of the law, first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of Moses, he goes from there, takes them all the way through, and expounds unto them the things concerning himself. He said, I can maybe just use my imagination, I can imagine Jesus saying, oh, you remember the flood? Yeah, you remember the flood. You remember the ark? Oh, yeah. You remember how God told Noah to build the ark because it was going to rain? Yeah, and Noah had never seen rain. I'm a picture of that ark. Only those that were in the ark were saved. I'm a picture of the ark. I'm the ark. And he goes on and on and on and on and on, and he expounds unto him. Now, here's where we're done. We're done. Look at this. Three minutes, we're done. Don't look at your watch. The dialogue, we see their decision and their direction. Verse 28, and they drew nigh into the village whither he went, and he made us as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. They now see Jesus. You see, I'll tell you, friend, when you get in the middle of a situation, sometimes you don't see him. You get toward the ends of it, you get toward the end of it, and you all of a sudden your eyes are open, you're like, wait a minute. I see the fingerprints of Jesus all over this. He was here. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way. And while he opened to us the scriptures, we see their direction. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. You say, preacher, what does this have to do with me? Here's what it has to do with you. If you're here today and you didn't know Jesus, sweet friend, 10 out of 10 people die. You're going to die. You can mark it down. So, preacher, I didn't come here to get discouraged. I didn't come here to get scared. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just calling you to statistics, right? Just quoting statistics. 10 out of 10 people die. The question is, are you ready? I'm not talking financially, and it's good to plan. It's good to be, to plan financially. I'm talking spiritually. Because we know in the authority of Scripture, and I don't have time to do this, but if we had more time, I could take you through Scripture and show you that if a person dies without Jesus, they go to a place called hell. Luke 16, if you want to read it for yourself, you'll see that. Wonderful news is, if you have Christ as your Savior, heaven will be your home. And the Bible says, he expounds to them the Scriptures. He opens the Scriptures to them. So if you're not saved, I encourage you to trust Christ. Maybe you are saved. Say, preach, I know the Lord is my Savior. Preach, I'll be honest, I was raised in a religious home. I've been born again, Pastor. I really have been. Let me ask you a question. Where are you at today? Have you gotten kind of hard-hearted? Have you gotten kind of cold, you know, to the things of God? Maybe it's because you were disappointed. Maybe it was because Jesus didn't work out like you thought he was going to work out. And maybe it's because he didn't show up when you thought he was going to show up. But maybe he showed up in other situations that you never dreamed he would show up in. The choice is yours. What direction will you make? What direction will you go now? Will you choose to, as a believer, if you know Christ, to say, you know what? You're right. Today, the Lord has spoken to my heart, maybe you say. Today, man, it's as if Jesus was, it's as if the preacher was following me around town, knows everything that's going on in my heart. I don't do that, by the way. I let my deacons do that. But it's as if the preacher was following me around town, he's seeing everything that's going on, and no, it's not me, it's not our deacons, it's the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes, man, he'll hone in on your heart right in the middle of a service that you never dreamed he would even show up in, and maybe he's done that today. You know, I think the reason he's done that, perhaps, is to get some of us to change our direction and come back to him. Come back to our Jerusalem. You say, why Jerusalem, preacher? Jerusalem was the will of God for their life. They should have stayed in Jerusalem. That was God's perfect will for their life, that they stay in Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem? Maybe you need to come back, right? Come back to your Jerusalem. Come back to wherever God's will for your life is. And I'm telling you, friend, God will use you. We see in the text. By them coming back, it encouraged others. You never can imagine what by you coming back can do to others, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your nieces, nephews. You never know what you coming back, getting fired up for Christ again, can do this Resurrection Sunday. Let's all stand, please, for him invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart that you will respond. Maybe here they preach, say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior. I just have a lot of questions. Well, we all do. But I tell you this, maybe God's led you to become part of Emmanuel Baptist. We'd love to have you. Our doors are wide open. We'll serve the Lord together. Like we tell everybody, we'll serve Christ together. And if you feel love the Lord to join, maybe say, Pastor, I have questions. And I'll be honest, I've got a lot of questions. Hey, love to talk to you about it. If it takes more than today to talk to you, I'd love to talk to you another day. We'll set over coffee. We'll talk. I mean that. I sincerely mean that. I enjoy hanging out and just talking. So you come if God's touched your heart. Maybe you'd like to come and pray at the altar, whatever you need to do. You come. Brother Ryan?
219.
219. Appreciate your good attention today. Thank you so much. Just a couple quick announcements. No services tonight, so enjoy the day with your family and your friends. We will get the kids lined up. Any instruction that I need for the Easter egg hunt? All right. My goal is to beat the kids outside, so all right. Easter egg. They'll get you lined up as soon as we're dismissed. Kids, they'll get you lined up out there. Hang on. They're like, The big rev said he's going to get our Easter eggs. That's what they were saying, that they're leaving. Any closing announcement, Ryan?
No, sir.
All right. Again, thank you for coming. Thank you for making this a wonderful Easter Sunday. Let's close in prayer. Brother Randy, dismiss us in prayer, please. One quick thing, just want to say thank you to all the teenagers that put all the eggs out and then also for cleaning up the yard. We really appreciate it. You're dismissed.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. There is a river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. Chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of because he I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation. chasing God that spins things in orbit, runs to the weary, the worn and the weak, and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. My love, arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise, arise.
Well, I know my Redeemer. Because he lives, I can feel.